You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
And welcome back to The Griot Daily. You know, if you've been watching us during Black History Month, you know we're centering our podcasts or our talks on the idea that South Carolina is the capital of Black America. Now, we're not just talking about slavery. We're talking about, today. South Carolina, for most of American history, has been a leader, not just in white people doing white supremacist thing, but in the fight against white supremacy, and is still so to this day. Now, to understand that, we're going to talk about, again, we've been talking about it for the past few years, but I want to bring you up to date. We're going to talk about education in South Carolina, and we're going to start with today. Right? So we've been giving you kind of the origin story of the fight against Black people educating themselves in South Carolina. But to understand what's going on today, you need to understand what we talked about in those past few episodes. Because if you don't, you won't understand what happened to Baron Davis. So who is Baron Davis? Baron Davis is the superintendent of a school district, of one of the largest school districts in the state of South Carolina. He's a Black man. First of all, he's my friend. I have to, confess that he's my friend. And he is very adamant about erasing the disparities between Black people and white students in the education system. Well, luckily, he's the superintendent over a district that is majority Black. Again, one of the largest in South Carolina.
I think the inspiration just comes from my desire to want the very best for the students in Richland too. I have extreme confidence in our faculty and staff, in our parents, and in our community members to provide our students with a premier education. And so when I was thinking about the vision for our school district and sharing the vision with our partners, the word premier was something that continuously came up.
And during the pandemic, Baron Davis began fighting the state of South Carolina after one of his teachers at one of his schools died from COVID. And she died as soon as the schools reopened after COVID first hit. So what Baron Davis said is, look, man, like if you want to come to this school, like everybody got to wear a mask. Because, the only reason he said that, to be fair, is because, the doctors had said it, the South Carolina Department of Health had said it, the Centers for Disease Control had said it. So he was just, doing stuff that was scientifically sound. It's not like he was just arbitrarily using his own opinion to set policy. I mean, who would do a thing like that? But after this teacher died, Baron Davis said, everybody who comes to the school got to wear a mask, right? Like, it's a mask mandate. Well, for some reason, the state of South Carolina said, look, we're going to ban all mask mandates. We know why they did it, because there's this dude named Trump. But South Carolina banned mask mandate. And Baron Davis said, well, not in these schools with these Black students. Now we ain't doing that. So he took the state of South Carolina to court, not just to a local magistrate, to the South Carolina Supreme Court. Him, not on behalf of the Richland 2 school district. No, Baron Davis is suing the state of South Carolina to protect Black students about this mask mandate. And what happened was that put Baron Davis under the target. And he became the target of white parents conservatives across the state, they said they were going to get him out. Well, how are they going to get him out? Well, they accused him of teaching this thing called critical race theory. And he kind of was, right? He was actually doing CRT. To be fair, Baron Davis believes in CRT. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but not the one you're thinking of. See, Baron Davis had heard about a black woman from South Carolina who had been putting CRT in schools for more than 30 years. And this black woman, she had created this course that would teach students by not making their lessons so white. And she called it culturally responsive teaching. Now, she had been doing this for 30 years. She had been using the name culturally responsive teaching. And when Baron Davis heard about it, he was like, wait, you mean we can teach our students and be culturally responsive about their education, which will make them more interested in learning? For instance, if we're going to teach an English class, instead of saying, you know, see Jane Run and giving them a book with a blonde, blue-eyed girl on the cover, why not teach them from children's books with characters that look like them? That's culturally responsive teaching. Instead of saying Jane had three apples and then took away three, why not use hip-hop in education, which was pioneered by one of Baron Davis's good friends, a hip-hop educator called Ahmad Jackson. And that was culturally responsive teaching. And guess what happened in Richland, too? Test scores skyrocketed. Students became more responsive to their education. And he began to erase the disparities that had been prevalent in Richland 2 school district. But remember, because of that mass thing, he was now a target. So they began to show up. Conservatives began showing up at the school board hearings and accusing him of teaching CRT. Look, we see it in the guidelines for the state, for his district's policy. And he was trying to explain, no, that's culturally responsive teaching. But no, they would not believe it. They accused him of teaching CRT because, you know, got the same initials, so it must be the same thing. And didn't just limit themselves to those school board meetings. They began attacking him in the community. Yeah, man, they attacked his wife. And to be fair, when the police looked at it, they said, oh, yeah, it was the white people's fault. And then those parents, they said, hey, look, we should get the superintendent of education to investigate this whole school district. And they did. And the school superintendent, or what they call the inspector general of this Department of Education, investigated Baron Davis's entire school district, this black, majority black school district. And guess what they found? This education superintendent, who was appointed by the governor, who is anti-Baron Davis, you know what they found? They found that he was doing nothing wrong. In fact, they said, like this dude, like, I don't agree with him, but he's doing a very good job. But those parents wouldn't let it go. So when the elections of 2022 arrived, those midterm elections, the parents all over, the white voters of South Carolina, decided they were just going to take over these majority black school districts. And how would they do it? They created a law that wouldn't just vote in new people on the school districts. They said every person on every school district in the state was up for re-election. And they ran, the Republican Party in South Carolina ran candidates, white candidates who didn't live in the areas and many times never had students in those schools. They ran them for those school board positions. And they managed to overturn many of the school boards across the state, but not in Baron Davis's district. Baron Davis beat those suckers. And so they tried a new tactic. They created this idea that in South Carolina, the teachers were instilling critical race theory into the students' curriculum. And that's how that idea spread. Because one dude dared to protect black students in this majority black district in South Carolina. And that's why South Carolina is one of the states that first tried to pass anti-CRT laws. They failed. Baron Davis won again. But they never stopped trying, and that idea spread across the country. And that's why South Carolina is the capital of Black America, because they fight and because they win and because you listen to this podcast, you now know it. That's why you got to keep subscribing. That's why you got to tell a friend. That's why you got to download the Grio app. And as always, we leave you with another black saying. And today's black saying is, you win some and you lose some, but you gotta fight them all.
If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download the Grio app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegrio.com.
You are now listening to The Grio's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
Coming this February, The Grio Black Podcast Network presents Dear Culture, Truish Black Stories.
When you think of sheer artistry, sheer creativity, the ability for someone to bring Black people together in the most fundamental ways, it's, you know, I would say, of my four, Randy Watson's my number one.
When the news about Ricky first broke, what I heard about it is the thing you hear about, you know, every time somebody Black dies, that it was gang related. That means the police don't know what happened, so they just said, probably the gangs, probably, you know, the other Black dudes.
When I think of Akilah, you know, I just think about how impressionable white people can be. I think about how, you know, if you watch that movie again, you know, if you should have lost like 3 times.
Where were you when you heard the story about them suckers getting served by Wade's dance crew?
You know, it's crazy that you mention this. So as a New Yorker, right, everyone knows where they were on 9/11, right? You know, a couple years later, right, 2003, everyone hears about this crazy moment in a boxing ring, because that's where dancers duke it out, right? In boxing rings.
If you could say something to Ricky right now, what would you say to him?
Ricky, you shouldn't have never got that girl pregnant. You knew I had a crush on you. You should have got with me instead.
Moments in Black culture examined like never before. Join us each week as we dive into the Black moments that changed us, that changed the world. Make sure to subscribe to Dear Culture so you never miss an episode.